Tommy Wilton Jr. joins us, the head coach and general manager of Cavalry FC. Any virtual injuries that you're dealing with? Are you simulating a season for the CPL right now?
No, but I think I'm getting carpal tunnel syndrome, sat in front of a laptop trying to perform some work as much as I can.
How are you? What's the day-to-day been, Tommy? This has affected everyone, it seems. We knew it was only a matter of time before the CPL did what all other leagues did. You had time to see how things went, and the league clearly a long time ago put a hold on training and has now extended that hold on training. So what's your day-to-day and how are you holding up? I know this is a time of year you've been looking forward to for a long, long time.
Yeah, as I've literally just finished our first batch of Zoom video player meetings, which seems to be part of our new normal. It's a long off season anyway, right? So when we're going through November, December, boys are ready to get back and train in January, February, and then our preseason started March 1. So we literally banked 2 weeks of really good training. There was a great speed and intensity about it, great camaraderie. And all we've tried to do is, I mean, when stuff like this goes on, it does put everything into reality. As much as we miss each other, what we do for a living, we're also thankful that we get to do it for a living because, you know, I'm sure, like most people, that you're just amazed with these frontline workers that are putting their own health and well-being at risk to stop and flatten the curve. And I think what we've done as a group is just recognize that we play sport for a living. We give people joy and play on emotions when we play, when we perform. At the end of the day, we play a sport. You know, these people are lifesavers out there. So we took our place of reality. We've tried to be realistic. We've done our measures that every single day the boys are on a workout program and connect via a WhatsApp chat. We have weekly videos that go out to give them workouts, and you know, we stay on task. So we've got an ethos at our club, as you know, and we've taken it as part of the military story to our name, and it's adapt and overcome. And this really is a test for us, but it also validates how good we are under these circumstances.
Yeah, fair enough. You've got to find something to keep everyone focused. You don't know how long it's going to be. This is very, very uncharted territory, I'm sure, as a coach to have all these uncertainties that you have to deal with and unknowns and outside forces you can't control. Are all your players here? Have you had any issues with players coming from places where you want them to be quarantined, or was everyone here early enough that that wasn't a concern?
Well, literally, we were waiting on our last three imports coming in. So Jose Escalante returning from Honduras was on hold. The country went into shutdown and borders closed before we did. Richard Luca from Brazil, same one. It was tough to get his visa prior to the borders being closed. And Jair Cordova, our approving striker, literally got it in the day we were on shutdown before the borders closed. So he had to go into the
Wow.
mandatory 14-day isolation. So the poor lad was, you know, picked up at the airport, put into a basement suite, and he's been there by himself. And, you know, we've been using creative ways to keep him engaged and welcome him to Calgary and to Canada. But it's, imagine for a player like that that doesn't speak a ton of English, that's his first input. And, you know, this is definitely going to create some memories. And hopefully, when we do come out the back side of it, we'll make us stronger for it.
Man, you can't imagine that. Like, probably his first time in this part of the world, and now, obviously different language, all kinds of things going on, and now stuck, not doing the one language you can speak well, which is to play footy and interact and create relationships with other people through that. That's been taken away. That's tough.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I think anytime there's a crisis, I mean, I think back now, I've lived in Calgary for going on 18 years. So I think back to the floods when we're 2012, 2013, and you look at how
13,
everybody rallied together to make things happen. I think that's what makes Calgary great. I think it's what makes Canada great is we do have a way of coming together. And irrespective of what where your political beliefs lie, when I see the way as a country we present ourselves and try to come together through the government and united, and there's a great connectiveness from coast to coast. And I look at some of the other countries that maybe don't have that. And you know, I left England, and we've seen with what's gone on with Brexit, and I'm seeing a very divided country right now. But I think we've really taken to this as best as we can to find a way around it. And that also lends true to what we're doing as, you know, not only a team, but as Spruce Meadows as an organization, and trying to connect as best we can, and making sure that players like Haya coming down, and young players that are, you know, in player housing, or whether they're with their wife and young child, that they still have connected things. So, like I said, every day they send in videos of their workout. They send in, you know, there's a bit of camaraderie and a bit of banter to it. And we've given them a bunch of tactical analysis that they had to go away. And we're almost teaching them to fish, because we want them to be sharper when they come back in other ways. So it's teaching us to be creative and use innovation. And I think that's what crisis brings out as well.
One of the things you never talk about when things are going well is rock solid ownership. And it's only when things aren't going well that conversations turn to ownership. But I imagine you're thankful you've got the people financing you that you do have, given that here's year two and there's already been a huge amount of, you know, costs that early on you have to put in place for infrastructure to build a staff, to get this thing off the ground. And then you have a phenomenal year one, and here you are ready to reap the benefits of having an immensely competitive, successful year one. And now, you know, people are still getting paid, but there's no tickets being torn in half on the way into the stadium. What can you say about the folks at Spruce Meadows?
Yeah, I mean, we've already invested millions into helping get this league off the ground. It was really in a fantastic state after a really positive first year. I think the league as a whole, with the inclusion of Atletico Ottawa coming in, but this really is going to test our foundations. You know, as you know, we've made an announcement at Spruce Meadows, the cancelling of the summer series. And that was just incredible leadership from our owner, Linda Sutton-Heathcott, that said, listen, let's get out in front of it. Let's put that as a side and get through the worst of this, and we'll see where we are. We're fully behind in making sure we do all things necessary to keep our club, keep Spruce Meadows, keep this league up and running. We're confident in that will happen. And one thing that we do know is that sports won't bring people together. There's a really great Netflix show going on right now, The English Game, which is, you know, the bare roots of, you know, how the game started back in England, with the, you know, upper class of Etonians to the working class of the mill workers. And one thing that was prevalent between wherever you come in society is that sports are the great unifier of everybody. And we're confident that all of the sports in this city will bring everyone back together, because we'll have missed each other that much. And the passion that we'll have for the game, for each other, for connectiveness, I think will be brought through, and we will be stronger for it.
The English Game? Is that what you said? I'm writing these down. I got like a million things to watch now. This is good. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you've got time.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, right? When else am I going to be able to sit back and have no sports on TV that I feel like we need to watch for the show? Something else I wanted to catch up with you on. What's new at Spruce Meadows, and what would change if you do get a season underway without the high-profile horse jumping or equestrian events, whatever you want to call them? Does that allow you to change some stuff with the venue, or at least have less of, I guess, what the fallout would be from horses running around the pitch?
Yeah, well, there was already a decision made to reduce the amount of horse riding on there. But let's be honest, we always knew going into this, it was always going to be a shared usage, because any, you know, stadium in the world now does tend to try and, for business reasons, have it as a multi-use facility. Our primary sport was always going into it was equestrian. We have to honour and respect that. That's what's allowed us this chance to bring football into Calgary once again. But what it's done was decisions were made by our leadership group to say, right, how can we move some of the equestrian off it? It's split in half. It's gone from like about 600 rounds to about 300. That will go down even less now with the cancellation of the summer series, because work was already being done now to fit in floodlights to make sure that they were permanent and not the stands that we had from last year. That was an upgrade. We were looking at some of the minor undulations from how the ground had been frosted, or removal of the fountains from year one. We looked this time last year, we were basically building a fantasy football team. So it was a brand new league that nobody knew anything about it. We literally built a stadium within 6 months. So we've been under the gun for a lot of things. And now it's just about playing catch up on things. So we were invested a lot in it. We took a trip as a ownership group over to England and, you know, looked at everywhere different from, you know, Tottenham's fantastic £1 billion stadium to places that were more similar to us, like Ross County in Scotland that are a 6,000 seat stadium and have snow and rain and ice. And a smaller budget and how they maintained it, to Barnet, who were a Division 5 but have this fantastic 6,000-seater stadium that they use for international games. So what we did is we're curious learners. So we went and took best practices and then said, well, what does that mean to us? So we were putting in and are going to put in a lot of work to the stadium experience, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's part of the entertainment industry. And the better the product on the pitch, the better the experience is for the fans. And we definitely want to build on from a positive year one to having another positive year two and beyond.
Yeah, and you know what? It's already an area where I think you guys have set the leg up on all the other organizations in this league, and already have such a strong culture in just 1 year. So that's cool that we can expect even more on that front. That's amazing. Final thought from you, Tommy. Just a look at the, I guess, football universe, and specifically, you know, the season Liverpool was having, European tournament was supposed to be this summer. Like, you look out at the soccer world, you guys are going to delay the start of a season. If things go well, you'll still get a season in. But for some other tournaments and leagues, this is a very, very different spot because they're wrapping up.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, it's tough when you've got players' contracts coming into it. So, you know, I know several players over in Europe that their contracts literally run out June 1st. So what does that mean when you extend it? Yeah. Because now there's got to be. For me, you have to finish the season you're in. So the work that Liverpool has done and the rest of the teams from all over Europe, you got to finish the season off in some way, because it affects promotion, relegation. It affects all the things you've worked on prior. So I think you've got to finish one season before starting the next one. I believe that. The ray of sunshine that we've got right now is we've just heard that the Chinese Super League, the professional football league out there, has just started getting together and training, and that's the epicenter of this virus. So if they're feeling that they're at a place where they flattened the curve, they've taken all the things necessary to do and are starting getting out in small groups, that gives us all a fresh hope that, you know, we've just got to do what we can to keep flattening the curve, and then we'll get back into action and put this all behind us.
Crazy. Yeah, uncharted times. Do you have a go-to Netflix, or is there a book you'd recommend for people, or are you just savoring a little extra family time?
All of the above, really. I think what I try to do is there's an element of normality to the day, so it's literally my recommendation is start each day as if you were going into work. So for me, it's a workout, it's a coffee, and then it's shower, get ready, and then attack the day. And I literally do that, and I get changed into my business casual and sit in front of my home desk to get going. And then, you know, it's dinner with the family. We have, you know, shared conversations, which is great to have. And then we literally spend it like most other families, where if it's my youngest who's 10, he's downstairs juggling a ball, or it's finishing the day with a cocktail and a Netflix show with my wife. It's trying to keep some element of regular things to it. We've started watching the English game because that was recommended, but sometimes you also want something lighthearted as well. And I'd strongly recommend for the listeners out there that like a bit of a laugh, watch Sex Education that's on Netflix. It's a coming of age show, but it's just great people industry, and it's about a good bit of humor as well. And I think we've got to remember to laugh and smile as much as we can through this, because it sends those positive endorphins we all need.
When you're done managing championship football squads, we would like to hire you, everyone listening, as life coach, because I feel like it's just that final 30 to 90 seconds. You've now helped my days in the pandemic, Tommy. Thank you.
Well, we've all got to play our part. Well, everyone stay healthy, stay safe, and I promise you, we'll be back soon.